Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, we're rolling along here. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline, a happy, merry, everything Christmas and the whole thing. We're having, it's a busy week here, crazy time here, particularly in New York where we live. And we hope that we can put a little smile on your face as we go through the world of sports, despite the struggles of your teams, perhaps, certainly in the case of our teams. And we are delighted every time you choose to hang out with us here. We will have time in a half hour for your calls. We'll do the traditional Monday hot takes. So I'll tell you when to dial it up, and we will get to those. Very quickly, you heard the big news from Christine Lisi right there at the top of the Sports Center, and that is that the Browns did not get either of their quarterbacks tested out of the COVID today. So the Browns play the Raiders tonight. I think there had been some hope that either Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum, or I guess in theory both of them, might test back in because they're sort of loosening up some of these guidelines on COVID availability for players, but they did not. So Nick Mullins will start tonight against the Raiders. All three of you guys, all three assembled members of the hashtag crew, believe the Raiders are going to win this game tonight as a result. I do not. I like the Browns. They're not winning because of their quarterback play. Their quarterback play has been below average. Let me ask you a question right now. Who's a better player, Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Who's a better player, Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Kirk Cousins.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We think Kirk Cousins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, who is better than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker's quite low on the list, this year at least. I mean, Baker has failed miserably as a dropback quarterback. He can hand the ball off, and he can operate play action. But there are 50 quarterbacks in the league that can do that, probably including Nick Mullins.
See, I think they may be better. I don't think that they're any worse off. You're making my point for me. And the Raiders are a team that is just, all the stuff that's happened to them and everything, mm-hmm. I don't believe in them at all. So I like the Browns tonight. And then we got Vikings-Bears tonight, which is another, it's an interesting game. I mean, it's an interesting game because the Vikings have a lot to play for in the playoff race. And the Bears, you know, you want to continue. This is where, so you could walk out of the season as a Bears fan, having had a terrible year. You could walk out of it feeling pretty good. Because this last month of the season is where if you start to see Justin Fields take a step, you start to see him make a move, you start to see him look like the quarterback you're hoping he is going to become, like he's starting to blossom into that, you could walk out of the season feeling pretty good about yourself.
Or maybe talk yourself into maybe giving Matt Nagy another year.
No, don't do that. No, there's no way in the world they're going to do that. But I think you do talk yourself into this is a pretty attractive situation because someone is going to want to come coach Justin Fields, and we'll see where it goes. That's you know, if you look at some of the different, like my team, we've got the rookie quarterback, and it couldn't be going worse. Like, I can't fathom how badly this is going. It's worse than I imagined. Like, whatever the worst-case scenario that I envisioned was, this is worse. Like, the only thing worse is Jacksonville. Like, Jacksonville is worse. Like, we hired Urban Meyer, legendary, winningest college coach of all time. If you had told me he's going to humiliate the organization time after time after time, and they're going to fire him with cause after 13 games, that's worse.
I think you're right. I also think that Zach Wilson, at least based upon what I've seen, he has to lead the NFL in sideline shots on his Microsoft Surface Pro. Like, he is always by himself. Like, there's never even anyone next to him. He's always looking at the iPad.
They don't have anyone to sit next to him.
I mean, come on.
Who would sit next to him? Like they don't have a person to do it. The offensive coordinator is up in the booth, and they don't have anyone down there.
Flacco.
No, he's all by himself. I mean,
he's by himself.
They've left him all by himself.
Literally.
It's terrible. It's like, what is the movie, Home Alone? And I don't mean that just because he looks like a little kid, but I mean, it's like, you know, Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin is sitting all by himself, and he's like, I guess I'm all by myself. That's how Zach Wilson has to feel
100%.
Right now. All right, let's do I'm Sorry What.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
All right, it's a Nuno special, I'm Sorry, What? Today, this is interesting people saying interesting things. I said, just find me the most interesting sound bites you can, and let's see what we've got today. So let's start with, of course, he picked Joe Judge to begin. So Joe Judge, coach of the Giants, after they played, I don't know, a football game yesterday in which they set offensive football back at least a decade, right? I mean, the NFL is at least a decade worse for having seen the Giants play offensive football yesterday. What did you tell me? How much money has Mike Glennon made in his career?
Mike Glennon has earned $32 million in
the
NFL.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
So Joe Judge was asked the question, to what do you attribute all the miscues on offense? And here's what Judge said.
Well, the turnovers, you know, obviously, you know, we made mistakes in how we're going, you know, pushing the ball down the field a little bit. In terms of the execution, we got to make some plays and make, you know, good judgment, good decisions. You know, we got to make sure we have better ball security at the end of the first half and not turn the ball over right there and put the defense in a position to go back on the field and play defense. You know, that being said, you know, we got a better execution with it. The false starts, you know, we've got to have better poise in there and better control. There's nothing that makes it acceptable right there. It's not something we accept at any point in time, Jordan. So, again, I don't think there's any one reason for it. We got to make sure we clean that up right there and, you know, make sure the guys that are, you know, committing these issues, that we put them through exactly what they need to do to correct it. Make sure it never repeats again.
What?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of words. My God, that was so many words to say.
I like it, Joe.
He's talking about, what are you going to make them run laps? I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, oh, these guys have been making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Like, at some point, you're just not very good.
You know what's funny? Joe Judge talks like the coach of a well-coached team. Like, if you listen to him talk, you would think that we're a very well, but they're actually, they don't look like a well-coached team at all. They fired.
That's how we got the job.
They fired their offensive coordinator. To be clear, they have already fired the person in charge of their offense during the season, right? Yeah. So like, you can't say, well, the coaches have done that. No, one of them did it so badly, you fired him. And now I just spent 40 seconds talking about how things that, like, if you had a four-year-old in the room, he would know all the things that would just say, well, we got to clean those things up. Well, no, duh. What do you mean we got to clean them? Of course we got to clean them up. Well, we fumbled and turned the ball over and stunk. Yeah, yeah.
I was actually surprised because I would have probably bet money that Joe would have been the coach who after the game would have been like, would have called out the Giants fans
right
for letting all the Cowboys fans come in and been like, oh, I got a message for all you fans. We're out here giving our all, and you got to come in here and support us on free medium soda day.
Drink
what were
soda.
You thinking to, you know, you guys, I saw the Cowboys fans out here. That was I would have bet anything that would have been what Joe Judge would have done because he seems like that type of guy who would have turned on the Giants fans. So we got to find that. I'm sure it was somewhere yesterday.
How do you give up your tickets on free medium soda day?
I know, it's unheard of.
Like, those aren't refillable, right? Because they're not, like, I think the largest are refillable because I went to a Giants game a couple weeks ago.
Multiple free medium sodas?
No, because the larges, they're made of plastic. They're made of, like, you can bring them home, you can refill them and stuff. I'm pretty sure the mediums are like the flimsy ones, so you can only get one. Like, they're not even talking about a refill situation.
Can we just have a quick conversation about this? In what meeting did people get together and say, you know, we're having a tough year? Let's do something for the fans, something that'll maybe keep them coming in the ballpark, something that'll show them some appreciation. Let's throw it around the room. What do you got? Herbie, what do you like? I don't know. How about we give them free medium sodas? Sounds good. You're a genius. Promote that, man. Let's do it. Get the word out there.
Do you think someone first suggested large and they're like, don't be ridiculous. What are you, insane?
No, or how about if someone had said free small sodas and they went, no, we can't just do that. Let's hike it up to a medium. Like, which would be worse, if they'd started at large or started at small? Why is there even a medium? Like, why do you have three sizes of soda?
And then some other person is in the corner like, should we try winning? And they're like, get out.
That's it. It'll be insane. They gave – I want to make sure everyone in America is aware of what I'm talking about. The Giants had a – what do you call this? Is this even a promotion?
Yeah,
we actually have the email that they sent to fans.
Oh, let's hear it.
So this one is, as part of a fan appreciation day, Pepsi is excited to provide all Giant season ticket members with a free medium-sized fountain soft drink at this Sunday's game to redeem this offer, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So they sent that to
the medium soda.
Medium,
fan appreciation day.
Medium-sized fountain soft drink. Yes.
So does that suggest that you could? What else is a fountain size? What else is a fountain
any
soft
other
drink?
Pepsi?
Can you get a bottle?
Maybe you get a Diet Pepsi if you're into that stuff. I don't know.
Why are there medium? Like, it just strikes me that's a very specific size to have at a football game. Like, honey, I'm going over to get something for the concession stand. Do you need anything? Get me some peanuts. Get me a hot dog and get me a soda. Well, what size do you want? I don't know. What size do they have? There's three options. Get the hell away from me.
There should be two.
Just, do you want a big one or a small
correct
one? And get on with my day.
Correct. What's amazing about this, Greeny, though, is that they were braggadocious. They blasted this out. to the season ticket email list. Like, this is not an understated, like, oh, by the way, in case you haven't heard, this is them advertising this free promotion.
Hey, everybody, you're not going to believe this, but if you come to the game this weekend, you could get a free medium soda.
And they didn't even hide it, because in the subject line it says free fountain soft drinks for Giants season ticket members on Sunday. This is not like a free promotion. Click on this. They genuinely thought this was a good deal.
Oh, good God. This is Greeny. Join us on the Goodyear Hotline. That's where all our guests appear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. All right, I'm going to break briefly on that thought. We'll get to a couple of these other sound bites here, including Bill Belichick doing something that you don't hear him do often. We have Nuno's notes to come, and then your calls, your hot takes on the way as we roll on. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let me run through some more of the good sound bites from yesterday. We didn't get to enough of them yesterday. Let's hear John Harbaugh. This is John after going for the two yesterday on why he decided to go for the two.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to get the win right there. You know, in overtime, I think our chances of winning right there were a little bit higher than in overtime, maybe, if you calculate it out. But felt good about it. Felt we had a good play. And again, they made a really good play. I got to give that safety a lot of credit for getting out there and tipping that ball.
And they threw a bad ball. I did not like the play call, and I did not love the decision to go for the two there. Rodgers is still going to have 40 seconds to try and beat you in regulation. I like the way my quarterback is playing. I don't know. It just feels to me like you have the whole game going in your direction. Why put everything on one play? We don't make this with games over, we lose. I feel like there was more game to be played out in that scenario. One way or another, football is a game that I still think has to be managed by the gut. I get that baseball and basketball, because of the number of possessions in basketball and the number of games in baseball, you do things by the analytics. Because all analytics are based upon, well, if you did this 1,000 times, here's how it would turn out. And in baseball, you're going to do it 1,000 times. In football, you're not. Every little individual, like I'll make an analogy. I always relate these things to blackjack. In blackjack, you can never tilt the odds to where you have an advantage over the house. Never, no matter what you do. If you do everything right, if you follow the analytics of blackjack, if you will, and I mean, there are books that you can read about it and all that kind of stuff that tell you exactly what to do, when you should hit, when you should stick, when you should split, all that stuff. The best you can ever get to, I think, is like 48% or something like that. Because if you could tilt it to 52%, there would be no big buildings in Vegas. People would take all of their money away. So you can't ever get this to a place where you feel certain. I think you do have to go with some gut in football. And if I were coaching Baltimore yesterday, my gut would have told me, I kind of think we have this game going the way we want it. I'm going to let it play out.
I don't have an issue with that. The issue that I have is that the Ravens and John Harbaugh are sort of selectively applying the analytics and selectively applying the gut. The Chargers have this thing right with Brandon Staley. They just always do the analytics. Other teams always go by gut. And yesterday, John Harbaugh missed the mark on both occasions. He chose not to go for two when they were down 8, when the numbers said that's what they should do. And they chose to go for it when they were down by 1 point, when the analytics said the smartest thing to do was kick it. He went 0-for-2 in those situations.
Yeah. So I think Harbaugh may have gotten it wrong. Now, again, I think he deserves Coach of the Year consideration just for having his team in the thick of things. They've lost everybody. They're out there playing with nobody, and they're right in the mix. They've lost 3 straight games by a total of 4 points. That means there's something like 5 plays away. I mean, they literally lose by an inch yesterday and by an inch in the game against Pittsburgh, and they lose by 2 to Cleveland. They're like 5 plays away from being 11-3.
It's the first instance in the history of the NFL that a team has lost 3 consecutive games by 4 or fewer points. And it happened to the Ravens just now. And like you said, So this team is, what, three, four, five plays away from having three wins more. They probably deserve to have three wins fewer. It goes to show you how good a job that John Harbaugh is doing.
So it does, and I also admire his willingness to be second-guessed. Like, that's the harder decision. It's much easier to defend not doing it. So I admire everything about John. Doesn't mean I think he got it right. In that case, I think he got it wrong. But that doesn't mean he isn't a great coach and that I don't admire the guts it takes to make the decision. You know, if you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire top talent, but when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, you get qualified candidates sent to you. Then you can easily invite your top choices to apply. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. All right, one more thing before the calls. Now, what's going on, Nuno?
Not much, Greeny.
Nuno is a unique personality.
There's just that je ne sais quoi.
He puts notes on all of the games into the Google Doc for me.
I'm definitely a savant.
And I like it. I just enjoy it.
Nuno's notes.
There are Nuno's.
Let's do it.
I did it again.
You always do that.
I can't not talk over the end of that. What do you say at the end of that? I never even hear it because I talk over it. What does Nuno say?
Okay.
Or does no one hear it?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Oh, let's do it. I'm not sure what he says. Anyway, I keep losing it. So these are the notes that Nuno put in the Google Doc just in case I don't watch the games. I think Nuno's thinking as well. I'm the producer of the show. I got to make sure Greeny is all set to go. I'll give him some takes to give in the unlikely event he decided not to watch football on a Sunday. So here are some of the takes. Colts Patriots, he writes, Pat QB just isn't good enough yet to beat good teams. Let me hear that one again from you there, Nuno, because, I mean, they've played these three, it's four tough games against three good teams, right? And they are now 2-1, and they get Buffalo again this week. You put that one the other night on Mac Jones?
Yeah, I just thought that he had the opportunity there to make some plays, and they just didn't, when the game was actually in doubt, and he just didn't make them, right? I think those interceptions early on.
Yeah.
I take that Buffalo game out of it because the weather was so bad. So, yes, they beat him, but, like, no one could throw in that. So, I think this was that first real test, and he failed it.
I think it is the first time you've looked at it and said, Mac Jones looks like he could be the reason they don't win playoff games, right? Like, you haven't felt that way yet. I agree with you. But the Buffalo game is just a wash. They only threw three passes. If they play in that kind of wind, I guess it's a whole other story. But this was the first time you watched a game, especially that pick in the red zone early in that game, that really kind of changes the complexion of what's going on. That is the first time watching them, I thought to myself, he could wind up being the reason they don't go to the Super Bowl. The next Nuno note, Cowboys over the Giants. He writes, for the love of God, just end the season. Oops, sorry, wrong New York team, but same feeling. The Giants clinched their fifth straight 10-loss seasons. Five straight 10-loss seasons. The state of New York football right now is such that the Giants have five straight 10-loss seasons, and the Jets have the longest current streak of not making the playoffs. All 31 teams in the NFL have been in the playoffs more recently. So the two New York teams, I mean, we could not stink more with the football in New York City. It's unbelievable.
It's impossible to believe. Although I will say this, in looking at the box score, the Giants' offense, and this will probably irk Bubba a tad, the Giants' offense averaged more yards per play yesterday than Dallas did. The Giants averaged 5 yards a play on offense. The Cowboys averaged 4.7 yards per play on offense. So it's easy to give Mike Glennon a hard time about what he did and what he didn't do. The Cowboys didn't look much better to me.
Perhaps not. But Mike Glennon threw for 99 yards and three interceptions. Okay. So
he's the worst quarterback I've seen this year.
I am not ceasing to give him a hard time about that. Okay. The medium soda was the best thing about the experience if you were a Giant fan yesterday. On the Dolphins beating the Jets, I really do want to address this one because Nuno writes, not trying to be mean, out of all the rookie quarterbacks who started this year, has Wilson looked the worst? Is the answer to that yes? I mean, Trey Lance, you can't count. He hasn't played. You know who looks way better? And I told you this. This is why you need to listen to this radio show. Because leading up to the draft, I told you, Davis Mills is going to be an NFL player. And he is. He's good. You watch him play for Houston right now. They have a quarterback. Houston has a quarterback. He's going to be a good player. He was the number one recruit in the country once upon a time and had a variety of injuries at Georgia and then Stanford. He's a good player. So putting him in the mix, he's looked way better. Lance hasn't played. Mac Jones has obviously looked better. Justin Fields has looked better. Between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, like, which one are you more worried about, Hembo?
I'd be more worried about Zach Wilson.
Because?
because I'm more confident in the talent that I've seen from Trevor Lawrence, and that a new coach will come in, wipe the slate, and he'll probably be good. Zach Wilson looks totally clueless, and no one's there to help him.
Zach Wilson had his first real bristling with the New York media yesterday. They asked him about the fact that the offense just blatantly looks worse when he's running it than it did with other people, and he did not take that well.
To be back on the center, the offense is averaging 16 points, hasn't crossed the 300-yard mark since you've been back. So how much... because obviously not all on you, but how much responsibility falls on your shoulders that the offense hasn't been able to produce the way it needs to win games?
Yeah, I don't worry about any of that stuff.
And he just left it at that. I don't know if you could hear that clearly or not. But look, this was going to get ugly at some point. It has gotten ugly. I mean, it is unfortunate, and I will just move on from this thought. But it is unfortunate that the New York Jets are – they have given you reason to be really, really worried about what looked like it should be or could be the best thing to happen to the franchise in a long time. It makes me very sad.
Greeny, the podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, Greeny with you here as we continue to wish you and yours a very safe, healthy, and happy and Merry Christmas season here and holiday season. It's obviously a really complicated time for all of us in so many different ways. Find the joy wherever you can find it, family, friends, and particularly, in our case, sports. And we're delighted that you're with us for this. And it is now time for you to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football bowl season's here. Fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. Let's do it. Bubba, give me some calls here. We're looking for your hot takes. Serving them up hot after a weird weekend of football, one that is not over. We still have 4 games left to play this weekend, 2 tonight and 2 tomorrow. Bubba, who's first up?
Yeah, first up we have Joe.
All right, Joe, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Joe, give me a hot take.
Greeny, I love you like a brother. Every Sunday I watch your tweets on the Jets, but it is so much easier to be a Jets fan than a Vikings fan because every week you just know it's going to be a disaster and they're going to finish out of the playoffs. The Vikings find new ways every week to somehow screw it up. And every year they start the season, they're supposed to be good. You don't have a disappointing team. Your team is exactly what you expect it to be. Am I right? Think of how the Vikes have lost this year. Detroit Lions beat them on the last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Now they might make the playoffs. Sure, they might make the playoffs. They'll have to win 3 or 4 or 4 or 4, but you wait. They'll lose the last game of the year and maybe crawl in, and then what happens? They get beat, and there's your season. So disappointing. See, to be a Detroit Lions fan or a Jets fan, you have it easy, right?
I hear you, Joe. There's nothing in life better than low expectations. I totally understand that. I will say this. The Vikings are, what's the word, relative to what they should be. I agree with you completely. They're a huge disappointment, right? I mean, you look between Jefferson and Thielen and Cook, who has better skill position guys than that? And Cousins gets paid like he's a star quarterback. And that coach is supposed to coach good defense. They do lose ridiculous games. I mean, just ridiculous games. And the one against the Lions. But who are you going to blame but yourself for the game they lose to the Lions? They gave up a touchdown on the final play on the worst defense I've ever seen in my life. Joe, I hear you. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. Who's next, Bubs?
Our friend of the show, Jeff in Queens.
All right, Jeff, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Give me a hot take.
No hot take, really, but I got 6 down. I got 3 to go to make NFL history from being the worst team in the league to actually maybe making the playoffs. And you know what? I know we got the Saints, the Titans, and the Patriots, but you know what? the Saints I watched yesterday, their offense is a joke. Mm-hmm. The Titans without King Henry are not the mighty Titans. And your team, the Patriots, who you were salivating off, they're the biggest fraud in the NFL. They're lucky they got the Jaguars to get their 10th win. But you know what? I got to ask you a quick question. Am I going to win a bet with my friends that are, one's a New York Jets fan, one's a Giant fan? I'm getting a half a game. Are the Dolphins going to win more games than both those teams? Thanks, Greedy.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, is he still there? Is Jeff, is he still there? Jeff, I'll tell you about your bet in a second, but answer me this question. Because obviously I watched every snap yesterday. How is Tua Tagovailoa the quarterback of the future for your Miami Dolphins, yes or no?
If I was the general manager, I would do everything possible to get me Deshaun Watson. I am not sold on Tua Tagovailoa. I said before on your show, I think he's a product of Alabama football. Mm-hmm. I wish I could go back in time, because when you were doing that draft, I did so many mock drafts on the computer, and in not one of them did I draft the three guys that Chris Greer drafted that year. And every one of them, I drafted Justin Herbert. Not because I watch a lot of college football. Because I did watch that last game when Justin Herbert won his bowl game. And he's just, why draft a quarterback that's not bigger, stronger, faster, more durable, has a better arm? He's probably smarter, because I know Justin Herbert's a smart kid. So why draft a kid that's coming off a major injury? It just made no sense to me. I like Tua. He's my quarterback until it's different. But please get me Deshaun Watson in the offseason. Right, you can't win in this league with a quarterback.
We'll see if Watson is eligible. Obviously, there's a whole other list of issues there. In the meantime, Jeff's question. The Jets and Giants right now have combined for 7 wins. The Dolphins have 6. Which of those two teams winds up – do the Dolphins wind up winning more than the Jets and Giants combined? The Jets are playing Jacksonville. They have, a chance to win that, right? I mean,
yeah, they have a chance, yeah.
If they don't have a chance to win that, then who are they beating?
Wait for that game. It's going to be fun to watch.
Who would they beat? Can you imagine I'm going to sit and watch that football game? Like, what is wrong with me?
What would have to be the fan appreciation giveaway?
Soda. They may have to up it to a large. They may have to go to a large soda to get me to come to that game. I'll say yes is the answer to your question, Jeff, just because it I don't know the answer, and that seems like a reasonable way to look at it. You're going to win your games, and the Jets and Giants are not. Greeny on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Yeah, speaking of soda, Rob would like to weigh in on the soda.
Rob, go.
I worked for Pepsi-Cola Company for about 40 years, and just ballparking some figures. I've been retired a few years, but just ballparking figures. A bag of Pepsi. Pepsi comes in a foil bag, a 5-gallon bag. Okay, and that makes X amount of sodas. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you the guy getting the attaboy on this was the guy that suggested the medium cup, because it isn't in the Pepsi. It's in the cost of the cups. The cups, the medium cup costs about a third of what that big 32-ounce plastic cup costs. So the Giants were pinching some pennies, but this guy is being roundly applauded this morning at the get-together this morning with the Giants people and everything. He's a hero.
Well done. It's in the cups. That's what we should have seen. See, it's always the thing you don't see coming. It's not in the soda. It's in the cups. Where they say, how much we got? Roger, how much we got here? Well, we can give them, if we give them medium sodas instead of large. But see, here's the problem. Just say in the release, we're going to give all fans a soda. Like, don't say the size, because it sounds so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something about the word medium that actually sounds worse than a small. Like, if you had said, we're going to give everyone a small soda, you'd been like, okay, at least I'm getting something. But when they say we're going to give everyone a medium soda, you cannot help but your reaction being, what, you couldn't have given me a large? Right?
Like, I agree.
Honestly, I think if you give people the option, I think there would be plenty of people who would have been happy just to take a small or a medium.
Right.
Sure, there would have been a lot of people who would have gone with a large, but I think plenty of people would just be like, oh, no, medium is fine. But no, I think, yeah, once you exclusively say it's medium, people get mad. But if you just say take whatever you want, people would say, a small soda's fine. I'm not that thirsty. Just give me a small.
Yeah.
A medium is fine. I think they would actually probably have made out fine, but they were so worried about it and ended up backfiring on them.
To me, it's hilarious. It's like Jerry Seinfeld had a routine once where he said, the worst medal to win in the Olympics has got to be the silver. Now, if you win the bronze, at least you got something. If you win the gold, obviously you're a hero. But the silver, I missed it by an eighth of an inch. You know, like by an eighth of an inch, I could have had the gold medal. And I think there's a similarity to that here. If I'd gotten a small soda, I'd have said, oh, well, thank you for at least giving me something. I appreciate your appreciation. But the medium, not a fan of the medium.
I don't even think they should have a medium. I think we should do away with the medium. We have too many sizes of things. Like I get it, like in clothing, because, you know, people come in so many different sizes. But sodas, we really don't need three options. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And I, like Bubba speculated earlier, am honestly dying to have been a fly on the wall in the conversation with the Giants brass when they were negotiating the giveaway and the size of the cup. Because that would have honestly been true comment.
Well, I think Roger just gave it to you. It's the cups. It's all about the price of the cups. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Looking for your hot takes. Bubba, who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Will.
All right, Will, you're up with us here. Give me a hot take.
So Kumon is going to end up sponsoring the NFL from now on so that college or these coaches can end up learning math. 3 points is always better than zero. It costs the Chargers. Harbaugh would not have had to be in that situation yesterday if he had kicked a field goal instead of going for it on 4th and 5. It's getting absurd that coaches are not kicking field goals when they can.
You're 100% right. Like, look, for anyone who didn't watch the game yesterday, Harbaugh in the first half goes for it on, I think it was 4th and 5. I think that's right. Instead of kicking a chip shot field goal with the best field goal kicker ever. And, you know, it's easy to say looking back on it, but, you know, you just turn your back on 3 points and you wind up losing by one. Brandon Staley has just made up his mind. He's going for it on every fourth down. And I get it. The analytics say if you do that 1,000 times, it will wind up benefiting you. The problem is you don't have 1,000 plays in a football game. Football, the law of scarcity, I think, upends the value of analytics in football. It's not nearly as valuable in that sport as it is in baseball or in basketball. And I guess in hockey, too, I'm not nearly as knowledgeable on that, where the analytics come in on hockey decisions that are made. But they have enough games that, like I'm going to use a bad analogy. But when they used to tell me we shouldn't put instant replay in baseball, Joe Torre once said this directly to me, that there are enough calls over the course of a season that they'll even out. You're going to get some good calls. You're going to get some bad calls. 5 of them are going to benefit you. 5 of them are going to hurt you. In the end, it's going to be a wash. I actually kind of buy that, because if that is the case, then it's probably not worth the juice. It's not worth the squeeze on all the stoppages and everything else. But in football, it's critical, because every single one play is going to decide the game, because there are just so few of them. And every game, there are only 16, now 17 games. So the scarcity of it, I think, skews the value of analytics. I'll say this. I would definitely have kicked the extra point at the end of the game yesterday if I'm Baltimore.
I do like your argument, but here's where I think it's wrong. If you're making these critical decisions, Brandon Staley, for example, with the Chargers, and John Harbaugh has obviously leaned on analytics a lot himself, you're making a decision based upon something that you at least can say that you know, because you can run the win probability for every single scenario in every single game. If you're making the decision based on gut, you're making those decisions based on things that you think. And in life, generally speaking, I would rather opt on the side of objective. I would rather opt on making decisions based upon things that I know.
Here's where I disagree with you. Lose the music, Baba. I'm going to yell at Hembo now. Here's what I know. I know that in the past, this has been the more successful way. But that is involving a whole lot of other people that aren't me. So, for example, they don't take into account who's my quarterback, what's my offensive line, what's the weather, what's all of this, what's the momentum, what's the feel in the building, am I home or road? This just tells you that if this play was run 1,000 times, 49% of the time we'd win and 47% of the time we'd win the other way. That's what it's telling you. It's telling you what's happened in the past. Mm-hmm. It cannot tell you what's about to happen. And I think a good coach has more of a finger on the pulse of his own team than that. Again, the number of times we're talking about here does not equal that. So football is running these, I assume, you would know this better than mm-hmm. I would. I assume they're running these models based on numbers that don't actually exist, which is to say this play hasn't been run 1,000 times.
No.
Not even close.
No.
This play has been run 18 times, mm-hmm. and we're now extrapolating over how it would work out if we ran it 1,000 times. But it doesn't take into account everyone. Like, every quarterback in the NFL hasn't run that play. Every running back hasn't run that play. Every offensive lineman hasn't blocked that play. Like, in baseball, it has. There are so many plays in so many games that this applies to everyone equally. I don't think it applies to everyone equally in football.
And you definitely might be right about that. I just think, ultimately, so much of our resistance to this movement, if you will, is based upon years and years and years of us watching football a certain way and accepting that that was the right way. If we had been watching football for years and years and years and people had been going for it, and now all of a sudden they were kicking field goals and being more conservative, I'm guessing the same outcry would happen, just because this is something that we are so used to, and any deviation from that that does not work is automatically wrong, when in fact that is not the case.
Well, there are two huge changes that have taken place. One, they didn't have a two-point conversion in football up until relatively recently. What is that now, 15 years, 20, whatever it is. So that wasn't an option. That wasn't a decision coaches had to make, because it only existed in college. It didn't exist in the pros.
94.
Okay, so it's longer than I thought. But even so, 25 years, it's still not the majority of my lifetime watching the sport, and it certainly isn't anywhere near the majority of the lifetime of the sport. The other is that all the rules that have changed to benefit offenses, so that it is much likelier that you're going to convert a fourth down. It's also much likelier you're going to need more points to win games, because the other team has the same built-in offensive advantages. So the game has changed to where these decisions get made. Like, you would never have done this back in the day, because the average game was going to be 17-16. You're going to take a field goal anywhere you could get one. Any point you could get was a big deal. And you would certainly never go for it on your own side of the 50 or anything like that. So the game has changed a lot. It makes it interesting. Anyway, let's finish up with the Monday night preview here. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. We got two games to pick.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
All right, so there's two games. The first one is going to be Raiders at Browns. I've told you already that no Case Keenum and no Baker Mayfield. There was some hope that either or both of them might test out of the COVID protocol. They did not. So it's going to be Nick Mullins for Cleveland. That line has been insane, right? What did it do?
So when we started the show, the Browns were a three-point favorite. The news has since broke that both Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum will be out, and the line has swung 5.5 points in favor of the Raiders. The Raiders are now a 2.5-point favorite on the road, which tells me that Vegas expected one of those quarterbacks to be cleared, or at least they were hedging for that, don't you?
Yes, obviously, for a line to move that much.
Wow.
Regarding players who are not great players, but it is the starter and the backup. I love Cleveland, and you're going to give me. I was willing to give you the 3 points.
Wow.
As I told you earlier today. I love Cleveland on this spot. The official KOD pick is give me Cleveland +2.5. At home tonight with Nick Mullins against the Raiders. The other game is Vikings-Bears. What is the number on that?
Minnesota is a 6.5-point road favorite, and the public, more than almost three-fourths of the public money is on Minnesota.
Giving 6.5?
Mm-hmm. That's a big number.
Too much.
Bears looked pretty good last week, didn't
they? The Bears and Justin Fields and no Thielen, or at least he's questionable, right? Thielen is banged up. I will take the Bears, the official KOD pick, Bears +6.5. Tonight at home. So we're taking points. Enjoy the double dip, and we'll see you tomorrow here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.